So, Mike, we are honored to hear this word today, and we're looking forward to this. God bless.
You got this thing on, Dave? Thank you. I can think of a pretty good use for that stick about right now. It's really cool to see God's plan kind of unfold in front of your eyes. And when you have, you know, this is something that's been reoccurring in my life over and over and over again, God saying that I want you to do this for me. And to have a humble heart and just say, God, I don't care what you want to do with my life. I just give it to you, and this is what it is. So I thank everybody who's came here to see me today. I got some friends, Bruce and Marcia are here, Dennis and his wife, and you know, many others. And I just thank you guys for being here right now. Today we'll be continuing in the message series in 1 Samuel as a senior pastor has been preaching on over the last month and a half. So today our text is 1 Samuel chapter 8, and I'll be reading out of the New King James Version. And I think I've got some of it up there. Good. All right. I'm going to pray real quick. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day, and I thank you for the word of God that we are just so lucky to have, Lord. Lord, I know that in some countries there is no, you can't even have a piece of the scripture, Lord. And we're so blessed and just by the country we live in and what you've given us, Lord, and the freedoms that you've given us. And I just thank you for it. God, bless this message today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. The name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second was Abijah. They were judges in Beersheba. But his sons did not walk in his ways, and they turned aside after dishonest gain, took bribes, and perverted justice. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, "Look, you're old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations." But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to judge over us." So Samuel prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said to Samuel, "Heed the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, and that I should not reign over them according to all the works which they have done since the day that I had brought them out of Egypt, even to this day, with which they have forsaken me and served other gods, so they are doing so also to you also. Now therefore heed their voice, however you shall solemnly forewarn them and show them the behavior of the king who will reign over them." In 1 Samuel 8, it's been about 20, 25 years, maybe 30. Nobody really knows exactly for sure. Some commentaries say about 25 years, and they talk about him being an old man, but they don't know whether he's 55, 65, whatever. That's not really that old as far as I'm concerned, but anyway, it had been about 20 years since the end of 1 Samuel 7, which is where the entire nation of Israel turned back to God and turned away from idols and things of that nature. But back in 1 Samuel 4, Eli, who was Samuel's predecessor, he had sons that weren't very good. And here, Samuel's sons were acting the same as Eli's. And now we're back to the point where Israel is worshiping idols again. They basically turned their focus from God to idol worship. They had lowered God to their own understanding. They noticed that they say, "Make a king to rule over us," but they don't say, "Oh God, would you please give us a king?" You know, they're more demanding. And in this situation, it looks like you could see the kind of a piece of the depth of their rejection here. They were God's chosen people. All around them, you had idol-worshipping countries that, you know, they had little idols, big idols, whatever, and that their focus was on those things and not of God. And we know that, you know, at some point in time, the children of Israel kind of worshipped the Ark of the Covenant as an idol almost. So they say, "Give us a king." God led them through the desert with Moses as his voice. And here, God is leading the country to an extent, but they've turned their back on him. And here, Samuel is their voice. God's voice to them, and they're not heeding what he has to say. It's a great example of doing things on your own without God. You know, this never really works that well for anybody, whether it's in our lives or, you know, in the Bible. In Samuel, 1 Samuel 8, verses 10, right around that area, is where God tells them what the king will do them. He'll take their servants, their best servants, their 10% of this, 10% of that, take their land and all that. And it even gets down to the point where it says, you guys will cry about this later because the king has done this. But even after all these warnings that God has given through Samuel to this people, they still want a king. It didn't make any difference what God had said or what Samuel had said through him. You know, we don't care. We just give us a king. Make us like everybody else. And, you know, it's like, you know, we're not supposed to be like everybody else as children of God. It kind of reminds me, you know, when you... I don't know what's best for me, but I want it anyway. It kind of reminds me of a kid, you know. Daddy, I want this toy. I don't care what, you know, it costs this much, but I really, really want it. And you say to the kid, you know, that's a piece of junk. It's going to fall apart the first time you get it. And here you're going to, you know, have to work for it to pay it for it. You know, like I'll let my kids, you know, do chores if they want something specific. But they don't know any better. They don't quite understand why you need a... You know, why that voice is there saying, you really don't need this, but... And then eventually, after a while, you know, the kid annoys you enough where, you know, okay, I'll buy it for you. And then what happens, the first thing that happens is the toy breaks, and then the kid ends up working for it anyway. So it's a big lesson learned. God knows what's best for us. In Proverbs 3, verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean on not on your own understanding. It's a great scripture verse that relates to this, you know. God knows what's best for us. We don't need to trust ourselves. We need to trust what God has to say. In 1 Samuel chapter 9, we start to see God's vision of who's going to be king for them. And the Lord is talking to Samuel. And I'll read this passage. There was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abel. And I'm going to skip down here. And he had a choice and handsome son whose name was Saul. There was not one more handsome person among them, the children of Israel. From his shoulders upward, he was taller than any of the people. Verse 16, tomorrow about this time, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him commander over your people of Israel, that he may save my people from the land of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people, and because of their cry has come to me. So then when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said to him, there he is, the man whom I've spoken to you. This one shall reign over my people. God chose Samuel, or Saul, because God chooses leaders of everything. God is the one who points leaders. He brings people up for different situations to lead. It says that Saul was handsome and tall. He probably would have been the type of person that they would have chosen themselves for a king. But God chose it for him. And God knew the heart of Saul. God knows the heart and sees what man does not see. 1 Samuel 16:7, which relates to David, but it relates here too. For the Lord does not see as a man sees, for a man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So God knew, he knew what he was getting into. He knew who he was choosing and what Saul would do and what was really on Saul's heart. At this time, Saul was a great, you know, was somebody who's going to be great for the country. So here the children of Israel are asking for a king, and at the same time they're asking for someone to help them with these Philistines. The Philistines were really, they were idol worshippers. They were the thorn in Israel's side for many, many years. Did all kinds of bad things, stole land, stole crops, burned things. They just weren't very nice people. And so they had been obviously crying out to the Lord. There still were some people who were crying out to the Lord even though they were worshiping idols. Verse 16 there says, tomorrow about this time I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him commander over my people, that he may save my people from the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people because I have heard their cry. He heard their cry, and God answered by giving him Saul. Saul was going to take care of this situation. I'm going to go on here. Verse 27, as they were going down to the outskirts of the city, Samuel said to Saul, "Tell the servant to go ahead of us." And he went on. "But you stand here a while that I may announce to you the word of God." Samuel, 1 Samuel 10. Then Samuel took a flask of oil out and poured it over his head, and he kissed him, and he said, "Is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance? And after you shall come," I'm skipping down to verse 5, "after you shall come upon to the hill of the Lord where the Philistine garrison is, and it shall happen when you have come there to the city that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with stringed instrument, tambourine and flute, and the harp blown before them, and they will prophesy, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be changed into a different, turned into a different man." God anointed Saul because he knew that Saul was going to have a difficult task ahead of him. You can't lead people and not have a hard time. There's always going to be pitfalls, problems, complaining, dealing with all kinds of things. And I just can't imagine leading a country as about what this young man's about ready to do. God knew it was going to be hard for him. He knew he would make mistakes. That's why he gave him the Holy Spirit. It says the Spirit of the Lord. That's the Holy Spirit here. It's just a different term in the Old Testament. When they came to there to the hill, there was a group of prophets to meet him, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he prophesied. And this happened. So Samuel talks about this happening, and then later on it actually happens, and people around him are just, they're just not understanding. Here's this son of a farmer, you know, and he's not acting like a son of a farmer. He's acting like a prophet, which is a totally different type of person. And isn't that ironic? It's kind of foreshadowing what happens with salvation. God changes you into a different person, and people don't realize what kind of person you really are. They know something's different about you, but they can't put their hand on it. You don't do the things you do that you used to do. You have the power of the Holy Spirit in your body, and you're trying to make changes in your life because you know what God wants you to do. Only God can make those kind of changes. Later in 1 Samuel 10, Samuel announces that Saul is king to the nations. He gathers the heads of all the tribes together and says, this is the king that we've chosen for you. And Saul went out to Gibeon, and the valiant men with him, and whose hearts had been touched. But some rebels said, "How can this man save us?" So they despised him, and they brought him no presents. But he held his peace. When it seems like there's always, you know, when you have this great blessing that happens in your life, something tremendous happens, or whatever happens to be. I remember there was many times where we, you know, go back to our fire, and it was such a terrible thing. But then there was this huge blessing that God gave us after the fire, which I'm very thankful for. But then after a blessing, then other things happen that weren't great. And, you know, it seems like there's always something that comes out there that steals that joy from you. And it's talking about here how, you know, Saul just became king. Most of the country is excited about him being king. And then there's these that don't like him. But it says here he held his peace. You think about any time where you've had a great time with something, God's blessed you, and somebody comes in to try to ruin it. They say something or do something, and it just kind of messes it up. But, you know, it says here, he held his peace. So we have to hold our peace, too. It's a good thing to learn from that. The term that reminds me of that is joy suckers. Pastor Kevin coined that term years ago, and he talked about that. He said, don't let the joy suckers get you, you know. Don't let it pull away the joy from the moment. I remember many times going to kids camp or junior high and kids would get saved, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they'd come back and they were changed kids. They really changed. And then you'd go and it'd be like a week, and next thing you know, they're deader than a doornail, as if they didn't even go to church or to church camp. And it happened to somebody very dear to me. As a young boy, this person lived on a farm, and he got saved one day in church, in a little tiny country church out in the middle of nowhere. And God really touched his heart that day, and and he felt something, and so he got home from church, and he went out into the woods near his home, and he sat there and prayed, and God was just all around him, and he lost track of time, and next thing you know, he wakes up, and he's on the ground, and he's, because he was praying, it had been 6 hours since he went out into the woods. And he woke up and he felt that God had this tug on his heart. I got to preach the word. I got to do what God's telling me to do here. And he goes in and he talks to his dad, and his dad says, "What's going on with you? You're all excited about this. And, well, God wants me to be a pastor and all this." And the father looks at him and goes, "Well, they don't make much money. Why do you want to do that? That just doesn't make any sense. We're farmers. That's what we do." And it kind of killed that kid's joy. Got killed. And it got taken away, and it took the rest of his life just about before he got that fire back that he first had when he got saved. And that was a discouragement. And that's not the type of... It's very similar to what's happening with Saul. If Saul would have let that happen, it would have ruined the rest of what God had for him. It says here Saul didn't let it get to him. He didn't let it ruin it for him. Saul said, it says here he held his peace. Saul pushed on going after what God's plan was for his life, and at the time he was trusting the Lord and making the right decisions right at that moment. Now, the children of Israel, like I said at this time, they're not going after God. They're not listening to what God has to say for them. They're going after other things, idolatry. It's not too much different than where we live right now, is it? How many people that you know it doesn't matter if it's an idol or if it's an addiction problem or if it's going after money. I mean, you know, people you work with, they're money hungry. I've got to have this, got to have that, got to have that. And, you know, and you look at our society right now and we're suffering an economic crisis because people want something that they can afford. That's kind of choke. That's an idol. That's really an idol. That's no different that we're almost in the same spot as where Israel is right now when it comes in this passage of the scripture. And our country was founded on principles of God and Christianity, and you go back to Washington, D.C., and you see God's name all over everything. It was a part of the founding of this country, and our country has lost God. They have not got God as part of the country anymore. Not that leadership. They're not listening to what God has to say. It's no different than Israel back then. People are doing their own thing and they're not listening to what God has to say. It's two different types of people here that are mentioned. You got Saul and you've got the children of Israel. And Saul at this point in his life had chosen to do what God had prepared him to do and what God was doing in his life. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I want you to take a close look at your own life. What kind of person are you? Are you like the children of Israel? Are you going after things? Are you not listening to God? Are you living as if God doesn't exist, even though you really know that He does? And serving other things like that aren't of God. Maybe you suffer from an addiction whether it be gambling or sexual immorality or drugs or alcohol or any of those things. You know, that's idolatry. Are you serving that type of thing instead of God? Are you living your life as if God doesn't exist? Now Saul, he was a man who chose God. He was chosen by God to do a great work. God was preparing him for a future. You know, God has a plan for your life, and He has a plan for your future. You could have that plan. You could have that plan today. If you have an addiction problem, or you're acting like one of these children of Israel instead of like what God has really called you to do, or you just want to see what God has for your life, I want you to pray. We're going to pray this prayer right now, and it's just a simple little prayer, but I think it's important. Now, if you pray this prayer and you sincerely mean it, then you'll be one of God's chosen people. You'll be saved. You'll be a child of God. I just want everybody to pray with me. Lord, I know that I always make mistakes and I'm not perfect. But I know, Lord, that you're greater. And you could take these things away from my life. Lord, I want you to come into my heart and change me into a new person. God, I know you know what's best for me. Take charge of my life, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, that's what it's all about. If you go ahead and put some music on, Dave.
Step here for a moment. One thing I forgot to mention, Mike, is about the staff. That this came to my mind. I didn't know where to buy a staff. They don't sell them at Fred Meyer. But the Holy Spirit put someone on my heart, and it was Steve Vilhauer. And it's something I wanted to mention earlier. I just felt like the Holy Spirit wanted me to say this. So, but I was like, "Well, Steve works with metal. I didn't know he worked with wood. And why would I? And I want a wood staff." But I called Steve up and just wave back there, Steve, just briefly so people know who you are. So I called Steve up and I said, "Steve, I'd like you to make a wooden staff, shepherd staff for Mike." And it just turns out that one of Steve's hobbies is making walking sticks. And that was a word of knowledge from the Lord. And, you know, so I just want you to be sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. When he tells you things, he gives you a word of knowledge. Heed those things. Because he can speak wisdom into your life that you could not know on your own. And I believe there was words today shared by Mike that were not his own. And that were for us as a church family or for a guest today. So, Mike, great word today. And it was tremendous. I learned some things. And just want to give this to you, and you know we're gonna close out service. We're ending a tiny bit earlier than we normally do, but just want to encourage you to interact and fellowship on your way out, and make a serious note of doing that since you have a little bit extra time today, and get to know Mike a little bit if you don't already know him. Get to know a guest if we have a guest with us today that you don't know, and I just want to say a closing word of prayer again. Father, we thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus, for today. We thank you for Mike's calling. We thank you for this word and 1 Samuel 8 through 9 about being at peace when there's joy suckers in our life and being able to realize where we are in relationship with you, in relationship to created things. So we just pray your blessing upon this word. Guide us today as we dismiss. Yes. And we do thank you again for Mike's calling and his humble obedience. I'm just thinking about that scripture, Lord, a man who is giving his tithe to the Lord. He gives beyond that to the local church financially, a man who serves relentlessly in building teams. He is leading by example, and he's doing things for the benefit of this church, Lord, selflessly. And Mike is an example for us to follow, Lord, and we're very grateful to have him here in this role and to be that example. So, Lord, we pray your blessings upon this day, and we just pray that you'll guide us, Lord, as we now fellowship, as we get to know one another, and as we depart, Lord. And may the grace of the Lord be with us, and we just pray that you'll prepare us this week, God, for your presence in our lives. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, church family, I'm just going to have Mike go to the back there with his family in the end. I want to give him another hand, and if we could do that. So Mike and Bobby Joe, I'd like you to be there towards the entranceway so you can shake some hands on as people are departing. And again, just spend some time in fellowship and getting to know one another on your way out. And we'll have some worship music playing in the speaker system there. So thank you.